Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
This is Sean Kane, and you're listening to Catholic Baltimore. We're here today with Jeannie Link from the Catholic Women's Conference. Thanks for being with us. So tell me about the Maryland Catholic Women's Conference. I know that it recently took place, and I would like to know a little bit more about what the conference is, who attends, and who organizes it.
Maryland Catholic Women's Conference started out as a conference, and we have metamorphosized into a retreat more than a conference now, because our original goals with our mission statement are to give witness to our faith in Christ, and we felt that we could do more of that as in a retreat setting than in a conference setting. Mm-hmm. The conference is 5 years old, starting at St. John's in Westminster under Monsignor Art Valenzano, that wonderful saint, and now we are at Mount St. Mary's for the third year in a row.
That's cool.
And we love the Mount. It's a great place to reflect and have a retreat.
It's a beautiful setting. Mm-hmm. So where'd the idea come from, the genesis of the idea for a conference?
I always say that if you finish a project for God and you go in the Adoration Chapel and say, okay, what's next, and you're expecting something really, really small, yeah, that usually doesn't happen. You end up with a women's conference to put on instead.
And I imagine it's grown over the 5 years.
It has. We average somewhere between 250 and 300 women.
Wow.
Most of the conference time. We would like to grow that. But we run into, there's so many obstacles with so many things, with especially with young mothers. This year, we're really thrilled because we had so many babes in arms. We must have had 15 little ones under the age of 6 months with their moms. So we had a lot of younger women this year as compared to other former years.
That bodes well for the future, too.
Yes, and that's our goal, is really to engage the younger women. My committee now consists about 40% of women under the age of 30, which is awesome to have their input. Yes.
That's great. So was there a particular theme or area that you focused on this year in the conference?
Yeah, the theme this year was Seek, and it was... The retreat was all about coming together and doing some soul searching as to what your goal is to walk with Christ. So all of our breakout sessions, our keynotes, were all about seeking your purpose, your vocation as a woman at this point in your life. It doesn't mean that we don't mean vocations like mother or professional. We mean personal vocation with Christ.
Mm. So it sounds like it is it's an opportunity for every woman to... kind of be met wherever she is in her faith journey. Is that right?
And exactly. That's what it was all about. Wherever you are at this point, knowing that some of us are much more mature than others, to try to fill in and meet those needs. So not only do we have a keynote who goes through three different breakout sessions, but we also have breakout sessions themselves with different topics. And women can choose two of those breakout sessions to attend because each breakout is offered twice.
I imagine that many women, like men, find it a challenge to build time in their daily lives for faith enrichment, for just prayer life, for spirituality. Whether it's at the conference or in individual conversations, what are women being told to do as a way to try and make time for that?
That's an interesting question, because one of our breakout sessions was on prayer and how to pray and how to fit it into your really, really busy life. I'm the mother of five sons. I have four daughter-in-laws, and all of them are wonderful, faith-filled women. And they will tell you, with all the little ones running around, it's really how difficult it is for them to pray. Our speaker on that breakout session talked about how to relax your mind in tiny little tidbits, not that you had to go into long reflective prayers for hours at a time. If you have time to do that, that's wonderful. But how to pray in this little time is during your day, whether it's you're out doing dishes and you can offer up a thank you, or it's one of the kids really misbehaving and you ask for Mary's intercession at that point.
So it's really looking for small opportunities to communicate with God.
To stay connected, yes.
It's all about that connection. And that's the the challenge we all face is how do we develop a personal relationship with Christ? And you can't do that if you're not talking to him.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So what are some of the greatest challenges facing Catholic women today?
We also had a speaker on that. it was discerning your present day vocation was one, and the other breakout session was living as an intentional disciple. And the one living as an intentional disciple talked about women today and all the things that are thrown at us as far as expectations. And she, one of the things she talked about is movies and TV shows, The Good Wife, and How to Get Away with Murder, and how it depicts women as these strong, overbearing creatures that are supposed to be above everyone instead of, you know, beside our brothers. And I thought that was really well done the way she handled the breakout session, because in society today, as women and our daughters are being taught that we should not be portrayed as weak. We should not be portrayed as humble. We should basically not be portrayed as Mary would have had us be as women. We're not supposed to be that humble person. And I think that when you look at what society's throwing at us as women, it's wrong. We know it's wrong. But when you look at our Blessed Mother, her humbleness changed the world. I mean, so that gives us an idea that being humble and saying yes to God, constantly being connected to him, we can change the world. We can change our families. We can bring families back. And that's the other big challenge of women, is that we're taught that we're not supposed to have— we're not supposed to say yes to being pregnant. We're not supposed to be saying yes to more than two children. We're not supposed to be saying yes to the things that we're taught in our Catholic faith or in a lot of Christian faiths. We're supposed to be almost like taking the role of men in society today. And I think that's a real issue. Plus, you know, sex objects and how we're supposed to be skinny. And there's so many things that just filter in. And when you look at our young daughters, because now I'm the grandmother of eight granddaughters, it's like I look at them and think, gosh, princesses and, you know, that whole culture is just
vanity and body image. And
yes. And that no one would love you unless you look that way, unless you're beautiful.
And often parents are focused on— I'm a father of three daughters, so focused on so many, you know, trying to counterbalance so many of the negative stereotypes that are out there. We often forget that that faith component is one that they don't get in secular environments, and we sometimes are so focused on these other things that we forget that that too is one of the things that we have to counterbalance. We have to fill the void that's left in secular society for young girls, that it's okay to be a person of faith, to have that relationship.
Correct. Absolutely. Yes.
So speaking on a personal level, how does your Catholic faith impact your identity as a wife, a mother, a professional woman?
That's probably a subject I could probably go in 2 hours with, just a minute or two.
Yeah.
I think that personally, it's a growth process. So it's a process. I come from an evangelical Methodist background. So I was a Youth for Christ Bible quizzer. I was the whole nine yards as far as being an evangelical Protestant. I've come home since I came into the Catholic faith. I love everything about the sacraments. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know how anybody can get through their life without the sacraments. Going to adoration, that adoration chapel, going to Mass as much as I can during the week, turning things over to God, it impacts you so much when you have made a decision and you're not sure it's the right one, but you've done it through prayer.
You trust God.
And you trust that where you're going is where you're supposed
guidance.
To be going.
Yep.
And then find out later on, yeah, that really was where you're supposed to be going, or what you were supposed to be doing. When you're in the throes of things, you think, I made a really big mistake, but you just keep praying through it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I have learned to treat my professional life as well as my personal life, my grandkids, my family, and this event.
That's tremendous. So when is the conference next year, and how can people learn more about it?
Next year's conference is the 7th and 8th of October. It's once again at the Mount. We were thinking about changing location this year, and boy, as soon as that rumor got through the attendees, it was nixed big time. And you can find out, constantly stay in contact with us through our website, which is MarylandCatholicWomen.com, our Facebook page, which is Maryland Catholic Women. We are on Twitter. Our hashtag is MCWC, and our email is MarylandCatholicWomen@gmail.com.
Jeannie Link from the Maryland Catholic Women's Conference, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity, and God bless.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
And here now is our featured artist of the week, Luke Spihar, with an explanation from his new album, All Is Gift. Thank you.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. The Archdiocesan Division of Youth and Young Adult Ministry sent 221 young people to Indianapolis to attend the National Catholic Youth Conference, which wrapped up yesterday. St. Francis de Sales in Abingdon and St. Ignatius in Hickory were big contributors, sending 25 and 23 teens respectively. Many of the youth, including Sean Carey, a parishioner of St. Ignatius and a senior at Oakdale High School, attend public school. I went to the conference 2 years ago and had such a great experience that I just want to go back and do it all over again, Carey said. Participants heard keynote presentations, attended workshops, and prayed together at Mass and in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Read more at CatholicReview.org. The U.S. bishops held their annual fall meeting in Baltimore last week. For full coverage of the proceedings, including analysis of a document on political responsibility that draws on the teachings of Pope Benedict XVI and Pope Francis, visit CatholicReview.org. Julia Bolton Holloway, a Dante scholar with a doctorate in medieval studies, lives among some of the greatest monuments of the Renaissance. She is also a Catholic urban hermit who practices contemplative solitude while not tending the grounds of a Florence cemetery or assisting families of the migrant Roma population. What the 78-year-old Englishwoman calls her crazy life journey has included volunteer work in the U.S. civil rights movement, an unhappy marriage followed by divorce, and a period as an Anglican nun. After her convent was closed following a financial dispute with Anglican bishops, she moved to Italy to find a new way of living her vocation. Catholic News Service recently spoke with this writer, carpenter, seamstress, cultural critic, religious web designer, and great-grandmother. Read the profile this weekend at CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is George Matusek.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only newspaper in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the church full-time, the Catholic Review. The print newspaper can be delivered to your home every other Thursday, and you can get fresh news every day online at CatholicReview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice-a-week updates. Find our app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online, at CatholicReview.org. Again, online, that's CatholicReview.org.
Catholic Baltimore takes a look at the men who have led the Premier See of Baltimore since its inception in 1789. With the help of Father Michael Roach, church historian and professor of church history at Mount St. Mary Seminary, we are offered a glimpse into the challenges and achievements, the education and background, and the leadership qualities of those men who have served as Archbishop of Baltimore. This is Sean Kane, and you're listening to Catholic Baltimore. We are fortunate enough to be joined by Father Michael Roach as we continue our discussion on the Archbishops of Baltimore. Father Roach, good to be with you.
It's grand to be here.
So our final and most previous Archbishop is Cardinal Edwin O'Brien, who comes to us originally a Bronx New Yorker, always retains and continues to retain that.
A Yankee fan still.
Yep, and he makes no bones about it. A man who I think, as personally know him, was as influenced as much by his service in the military as almost anything in his life. And anyone who knows him knows that he carries himself in a way that's very respectful of the military. And just you can see how that has a important place in his heart.
Oh yes. I was in his quarters one time in 408 North Charles Street, and I was struck by how Spartan it was, and it was clearly military. You know, very simple, not a lot of clutter, very much like he was and is.
He serves as what to me seems like a perfect position for him was the Archbishop of the Military Services before he comes to Baltimore.
That's when I first heard him speak. He spoke at Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg for one of our youth rallies, Youth 2000, and he was a remarkably powerful preacher that day, and I thought, this man is to be watched. interestingly, when he came to Baltimore, he became responsible for less people than he had been responsible for when he was in the military ordinariate.
But nonetheless, seen as a nod to his abilities coming here.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. A man who could make tough decisions.
And I think that, looking back, will be undoubtedly part of his legacy, that he had some tough decisions, especially where Catholic education was concerned, and wasn't afraid to make them.
Right. Painful, painful decisions.
Yeah, almost no-win decisions.
Right. Right. But the truth was, the financial situation was so dreadful. There were individual schools that were in the red for more than $500,000, and you just couldn't continue that much longer.
Especially when there were plenty of seats in the remaining schools to serve the children who were in those buildings.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Bronx, born and raised.
Very much a New Yorker.
Bronx Irish.
Yeah, right, right. I often make my retreat up there at Larchmont, at Father Benedict Rochelle's retreat house there at Trinity. And there'd be New York priests there, and they'd tell stories about Eddie O'Brien. And there were three Ed O'Briens, so they had to distinguish each one of them in the diocesan presbyterate.
He would often speak of his time, especially in his public remarks, where as a young priest chaplain in the military, he would marry young men, and 6 months later he'd be burying them. That had to be a very challenging thing, especially for a young priest.
Absolutely. And, you know, he's a real man's man, but by the same token, he has great heart, and he's very emotional about a number of things, and I'm sure that tore him up, but it made him more the leader he became.
His personal motto, not his Episcopal motto, was "Officers eat last." And to me, that was always it spoke very much of his character. And anyone who had ever had a meal in his presence, whether it was an informal one or not, he would always be served last.
Absolutely, that's the way he is. Looking out for his men, that's probably why he was so terribly kind to the priest. The priest loved him. He was so good to us priests, as he'd been good, I suspect, to his officers in the military. I can't speak enough of him. He was really a father. He was really a father to the priest. There's something very fatherly about him, and he lost his own father rather young, and I think perhaps that's why he's so keen on being a good father, providing a good father for his charges.
In 2012, his time as Archbishop of Baltimore came to a pretty abrupt end, I think, by any measure, but certainly history as its measure. You know, when you come into the Archbishop of Baltimore, that's pretty much the last stop.
Right.
So,
right.
What do you make of that?
I don't understand the appointment, but I think it's been a good one for him. He's the man for the job. He's great in working with folks, and he's traveling the world now in his new job. I think perhaps he made the tough decisions and then had to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But a splendid man, an admirable man in my book, and we were lucky to have him for the brief tenure we had him. He wasn't the shortest tenure to Archbishop of Baltimore. That was Leonard Neal, who lasted 18 months, but I wish he'd stayed longer, but we did well in the draw afterwards.
And though it's too early now to tell, because not enough time has passed, and certainly there are many wounds still raw from the closures of schools, especially, how do you think in the end history will remember the episcopacy of Edwin O'Brien?
I hope that won't be the one thing that he's remembered for, because that was a tough and painful decision. And I think there are parts of West Baltimore, for example, that are still wounded by the closing of Cardinal Gibbons and some of the parish schools. Every school my family ever attended was closed, St. William's, St. Edward's, St. Bernardine's. But we have hope for tomorrow, and I think there is some hope on the horizon for Catholic schools in the urban environment.
Because of the tough decisions of Cardinal O'Brien. Father Michael Roach, thanks for being with us and for helping us navigate the roads of the history of the Archbishops of Baltimore.
Glad to be able to do it.
Great, thank you.
The season of sacraments is nearly here. First Holy Communion, Confirmation, and Weddings. Visit the Baltimore Basilica, America's first cathedral, and stop by the gift shop for all of your gift needs. From beautiful frames to crucifixes and crosses, statues, and one-of-a-kind rosaries, the Basilica Gift Shop has it all. Friendly, knowledgeable staff members can help you select the perfect gift. Also available, Baltimore's very own Mouth Party Caramels, locally designed hand-painted signs, and jewelry plus gifts for Easter, as well as an extensive line of St. Patrick's Day items sure to bring out the Irish in everyone. Visit the Basilica Gift Shop at 409 Cathedral Street in Baltimore or call 410-727-3565 for hours and directions. Free street parking available directly in front of the Basilica between 9:30 and 4 p.m.
Now more than ever, the world needs what Catholic schools have to offer, where the soul is nourished, potential is realized, and lasting friendships and experiences shape who we will become. Come see for yourself the difference a Catholic school education makes in the hearts and minds of our students. You're invited to attend a Catholic high school open house, shadow day, or personal tour, and witness how every student is valued, learning is celebrated, and faith is strengthened, all in an environment that provides the rigorous, advanced education our children need to succeed in the 21st century. For a complete listing of Catholic high school admission events, including registration for the upcoming high school placement test, please check out www.archbault.org or call 1-800-5-CATHOLIC. That's 1-800-5-CATHOLIC. Archdiocese of Baltimore Catholic Schools. Rise above.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.